Welcome back on the flip side, where Luke Jenwood awaits for us to tell us his observations and thoughts from the Liars' Luncheon that I'm sure all of Ravens Nation's tuned into. Luke, welcome back.
Dennis, good to talk to you again. And yeah, it was a very interesting, I won't say interesting meaning anything earth-shattering, but obviously with the elephant in the room being Lamar Jackson, and it's not just the biggest story here in town, it's the biggest story in the NFL. And the Ravens and Eric DaCosta, complete unwillingness to talk about it, to the point where Ravens PR is cutting off the third question about it. And look, I get it to a point. Nesser and I had a very impassioned conversation about this.
Yeah,
and look, I don't.
He comes towards the end of the show with me, and I'm sure he has a lot to say on the subject. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say on it.
And you know, we got it. Kind of, it got a little heated, and it's not even that we disagreed on points, but here's what I will say as I've thought about it, you know, talking about this 24 hours later. I think what bothers me about it is, and yet, look, full disclosure, the Ravens PR staff absolutely had tried to steer the conversation to not make this all about Lamar, and to understanding we have a job to do, but also understanding, hey, it's a pre-draft luncheon, press conference, it's about that. Which, okay, you know what, Dennis? I'm fine if, with the couple questions we ask, answer the question then. Look, it would not have been that hard for Eric DaCosta to say something resembling substance that really isn't anything in the big picture. Do you follow what I'm saying? Like,
well, we have a saying, it's not just my business, but eat the frog, right? When you have a situation, the quicker you swallow it, get rid of it, the better, right? If you have two frogs, you eat the bigger. So you had a frog in the room, an elephant, whatever you want to call it. So let's take, gentlemen, ladies, whoever's in the room, let's take 5-10 minutes.
Right.
We'll talk about Lamar Jackson. Let's get that out of the way. But understanding, with the understanding that this is a Liar's Luncheon, this is a pre-draft meeting with you all. Understanding that this is the biggest story in the NFL, perhaps in all of sports, right? I mean, once the mattress goes away and WrestleMania and this, that, and the other, March Madness, it's still the biggest story in all of sports. So let's acknowledge it. Let's go through the storm together. Let's not spend 90% of this conference talking about it. Let's spend 10%. Do we agree upon that? Yes. And then genuinely answer the questions versus deflect and say the same thing they've been saying all along.
Right. So for me, I mean, it didn't even have to be 10 minutes, even if it's ended up being what it was. Guys, I'll take a couple Lamar questions.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. When you completely, if you want to try to steer the conversation, me as a media member, I'll say, okay, fine. Then whatever questions we ask, answer it. And look, we understand that you can't be fully transparent. We understand how delicate and complicated this situation is. However, when you go through the entire thing without even mentioning Lamar Jackson's name and you refuse to comment, you know, that to me is, you know, if you want to dictate the terms of what questions we can or cannot ask, fine, but then answer a couple questions, right? And then we move on. So that didn't happen. Instead, we got a filibuster, no comment. You know, it did not
Come
answer.
On.
Yeah, because here's the thing, and Eric made mention that this is, you know, that in some capacity or another, they've talked about this 5 times since the end of the season. Well, that's not really true, because Eric had spoken twice since the end of the season, and one of those was in Indianapolis. That's not a local media event. So, and since the last time he had spoken in Indianapolis on March 1st, Lamar Jackson had requested his trade, even if it hadn't been made public yet, and the Ravens had placed the non-exclusive tag. So a lot had happened since the last time he answered that. Look, it would not have been that difficult to say, hey, I've spoken to Lamar, or I haven't spoken to Lamar since he tweeted out his announcement and revelation that he had requested a trade. We are still hopeful and optimistic that we're going to work something out. Lamar is our quarterback. We plan on him being our quarterback week one. We have his contractual rights at the moment. You know, we can't guarantee anything because this is the business and we respect his business acumen and we have our own. It would have been very easy to say something like that. Instead, they just said no comment. Now, the thing I will say, and this is where Nestor and I kind of, you know, argued or debated, was when he's saying, when he is basically given a no comment to the first couple questions, and then when PR does cut off the next question, which ironically was much more about the quarterback draft class than Lamar Jackson, but
100%, 100% it was.
And to be clear, they answered questions about the quarterback class right. as the press conference went on, and even acknowledged the possibility. And this was telling, and this really spoke to the different tone that they took, that Eric acknowledged that, well, we have quarterbacks on our board, so theoretically, you know, hypothetically, we could take a quarterback in the first round. Now, whether you actually believe that or not, and it's most likely a moot point unless you're talking about overdrafting Hendon Hooker. At 22, well, you know, there's not going to be a quarterback, most
also,
likely. But
Will Levis is dropping, so there's a chance that Will Levis may be there at 22. So whether they trade back or pick him, but also with the uncertainty at quarterback, I mean, of course you had to interject Lamar Jackson into the pre-draft because it does affect whether it's quarterback, wide receiver, running back, scheme, guard, whatever you want to go to. But yeah, whether Hendon Hooker is there in the second round, if they trade back or – and I think teams are paying attention because are you going to get a Brock Purdy with the last pick of the draft every year? No. But to Eric's point, every pick is potentially very, very important to the organization.
It is. So just to, you know, just to finish my thought there, if Ravens PR and the Ravens wanted to steer the conversation away from Lamar Jackson, I get that. Look, I understand it's the pre-draft press conference, but we're not doing our jobs if we're not going to ask about it. And the idea is with the understanding of, okay, we won't pepper you with 30 Lamar Jackson questions. The couple that we do ask, give us something of substance that's usable, right? I don't think that's an unreasonable, I scratch your back, you scratch mine kind of scenario. So, you know, that's the point, last point I'll leave, but they're going to handle things the way they want to handle them. Certainly we've talked about, Nestor and I have talked about that a whole lot, and we'll continue to. So that is what it is. But at the same time, on the other hand, what are they going to say at this point? You know, we know what this is. Let's face it. It's a lousy situation. No, and I think the overall tone on, you know, what is usually a pretty lighthearted, fun press conference. And look, it's called the Liars' Luncheon. We know we're not getting any earth-shattering information about draft prospects. You know, you're not going to sit there and say, yeah, that's the guy we're hoping to draft in the third round, or that's the guy that we think stinks and we took off our board. But at the same time, when you have this cloud, this Lamar Jackson saga, this impasse hanging over the entire organization, heck, to your point, hanging over the entire NFL world at this point in time.
It is. It's bigger than the Aaron Rodgers story. I mean, we go through this with Aaron every year, so it seems. This is a huge, huge deal. I mean, the biggest story was Tom Brady. Well, he's retired. Now you got Aaron Rodgers, but Lamar Jackson's far and away the biggest story in the NFL. But I thought it was poorly handled by the PR department on a number of levels in terms of setting the room, reading the room, setting the expectation, and going through the questions that you knew – reporters wanted to ask because it's what the fans want to know too. And that's your job is to ask questions that the fan base is curious and learning an answer to.
No question about it. And again, that's where I said, you know, for the, you know, the pre-screening that they did. Okay, fine. Understand. No problem. But to me, that comes with an understanding that there's going to be something resembling substance, even if it's not really substance, said about it, acknowledging that, yes, you know, Eric talking about, you know, I mean, that, and that's what was so odd about the juxtaposition of this compared to a week ago when, you know, a little over a week ago when John Harbaugh was speaking as Lamar tweeted out, John was still going off the old script there, right? So
yes,
it's very clear they changed their tone. And, you know, that's my biggest takeaway is that change, that shift in tone on Wednesday. And now, that doesn't mean Lamar is absolutely 100% done in Baltimore or not. I still think this could go a lot of different ways, but I think if you're going to lay out an expectation that the media not make this all about Lamar Jackson, that's fine. Then answer a couple questions about it and give your best non-answer that you can give and not just, you know, don't just hide behind a no comment then. That's my biggest takeaway as I've thought about it now over close to 24 hours.
So you don't think they would have answered the question that there's a rumor out there that they have pulled the contract offer from Lamar, the 133 guarantee. You don't think they would have answered that?
No, not quite. I mean, I would have settled for Eric. I've talked to Lamar, or I haven't talked to Lamar, or this is the last time we spoke, you know, so anything along those lines. But yeah, I mean, it's
look, Eric, any truth in this rumor? Yeah. What do you expect the guy to say at that point? But I do think it's telling that they said that they'll consider a quarterback. And why shouldn't they consider a quarterback, whether it's Hooker or Levis or Stetson Bennett or someone else, right? I mean, they need right now, who do they have under contract in their quarterback room? What does that look like? And the other piece of it, what if Lamar Jackson decides to sit out the season? They have to have a plan B and a plan C.
Yeah, and it's not even that you feel particularly good about plan B or plan C at this point in time, but it is what it is at this point. And, you know, they have to do their due diligence that if Indianapolis does come calling about trading or trying to sign Lamar to an offer sheet, again, I don't think they're going to. At least, you know, Jim Irsay's seemingly done his best to dismiss that notion, but
you never know.
I mean, it's just, and we've talked about it. At this point in time, all bets are off, and that's why I've kind of – you know, I was pushing back on this even a year ago when people kept saying, oh, it's a non-story, they're going to get a deal done. And it's like, well, it's
non-story.
A story. Yeah. Well, I'm talking back then where.
I hear you. I mean, it's a non-story until it is.
Right. It's a story until it's not anymore. So, yeah. So, but that's my big thing at this point. You know, we can't make any assumptions at this point. You can sit there and say, well, there's not another team that's vying for Lamar's services. And look, it certainly appears that way. However, we also know Lamar Jackson, misguided or not, smart or wise or not, he has a lot of conviction, or if you want to call it stubbornness or however you want to characterize it. That said, how do you know that he's just automatically going to play on the tag or that he's going to show up?
We don't.
Even August 15th, let alone, look, you know, talking before the start of the season. So there's just, how can you predict any of it? Because how he's operated, let's face it, at this point in time, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. You know,
right. Does this team have the appetite to go through this scenario another full season? I mean, look, the way the draft unfolds, if at four, let's say C.J. Stroud is there and they have him as the best rated quarterback in the draft and the Colts say, listen, we'll give you the fourth Lamar straight up. Yeah. If they have the appetite to move away from him and eat the proverbial frog at that point, it's not a stretch to think that I'll do it and I'll have their 22nd and whatever, but at least I'll have a quarterback that'll appease the fan base and say, okay, we get a fresh start, another 5 years. Maybe he'll develop, maybe he won't, but we just don't have the appetite. We've done this for 2 years with Lamar. We're exhausted. You know, he keeps moving the goalposts. He doesn't want a fully guaranteed deal, but he does want at least 231 guaranteed. Right. So,
That's semantics.
Right. So who's kidding who here? So like you said, the fact that they even mentioned, and that's posturing, and they used a press conference to send a message, I'm sure, to him and his camp that, oh, they're considering taking a quarterback. So it's tit for tat. You know, he crash bombs Harbaugh's presser a week ago, and then they come out and say, well, yeah, we certainly would consider a quarterback at some point. So now that's on his camp. So, and again, all of it might be posturing, but we don't know. We just don't know.
It's impossible to know because I don't think they know. I mean, I really don't.
They have to hope for the best, Luke, and they have to prepare for the worst. And that's where, Cam Newton. I mean, come on now. Cam Newton's was a great player, but his shoulder was shot the last time I saw him play. He just can't throw the ball. But they have to have a contingency plan, and it really shouldn't be Tyler Huntley. No offense to Tyler Huntley, but he's a serviceable, good backup quarterback from what we've seen in the NFL. But if they start the season with Huntley behind center, you're looking 8-9, 9-8. I mean, based on a good defense. At best, right? Based on the performance of your defense and everything else. You just cannot win without a quarterback. And that's the pickle that they're in, because people say, oh, yeah, they get rid of Lamar. And then what? I mean, the guy, you can't ignore his record. You just can't.
Well, right. Exactly. And that's where, you know, that's where I think both sides of the aisle in this argument. And look, there's a wide range. Right. And I found myself at different spots on that scale at different times.
On a roller coaster, you went up and you went down.
A year ago at this time, I would have told you, I think the Ravens are going to have to give Lamar a fully guaranteed deal. But part of the problem with that, Dennis, was he never exercised any leverage to try to do that. You know, His move to try to do that a year ago would have been to hold out in training camp. To try to, you know, but now when he didn't do that, and then he has a second straight season where he finishes injured. I mean, it just so. But I want to go back to something that you just said, because it was interesting to me. And this, you know, this ties in with the point that you had made as far as just the fatigue, the sheer exhaustion that the entire organization has with this. If you're in a position with, let's say Lamar, let's say he's playing on the tag, holds out until, I don't know, the final week of August, you know, and this is a complete spitball scenario. At what point in time, and you can say all you want about John Harbaugh or the leadership in the locker room, players, you know, they like Lamar, and they do. You know, everyone likes Lamar as a person. Anyone that I think has looked at this would still say, probably to a man, that they like Lamar as a guy. It's just like, what are you doing, man? Like, what are we doing here? From a business standpoint, from a negotiating standpoint, you know, especially now when it's, you know, it's clear what his market is. It's not aligned with what he wants. I mean, that's just the case, just like the housing market or cars or anything. There's ebbs and flows to it, right? I mean, what something is worth at some point in time doesn't mean what it's going to be worth a year or two from now. So you look at that, but at some point in time, and you know, to use your Tyler Huntley example, and I'd probably be a little bit on the lower side and say I think they'd be a 7-10 kind of team.
You're probably right. Yeah.
There. But that's also eliminating and discounting the human element. And at one point in time, does this scenario crater your locker room? And that doesn't mean that it completely, everyone hates each other, and that you've turned into like the 1970s New York Yankees, but it does lend itself to an idea of, without Lamar Jackson, this team doesn't have a shot to win a Super Bowl as it's presently constructed. Like, it's just not even close, right? Unless you would, you know, unless you draft CJ Stroud somehow and he's, you know, amazing as a rookie. So, you know, assuming that kind of scenario is out of play, you don't have a shot at a Super Bowl. So when you have that, what impact does that have on your locker room? What impact does that have on other players making business decisions? You know, doesn't mean that everything falls apart and that you're at each other's necks, but are you winning as many of those close games? Are you putting in the same kind of work every week? There's a trickle-down effect. How could there not be? So that's where you kind of look at this in its totality. Now, bringing it back to the big picture of where they are right now, after eliminating that specific scenario, but looking at it in general, at some point, how's this not impacting? You know, we've talked, it sure as heck has impacted the rest of their offseason. I mean, do we really think if Lamar Jackson was on a long-term contract right now that their single addition outside the organization would be Nelson Aguilar? Yeah. Come on now, you know? I mean, so it's absolutely impacting their roster construction. And at some point in time, I don't know how it doesn't really start to impact what's happening on the field with the rest of your players. And, you know, whether it's flat out dissension and resentment, or whether it just becomes a case of guys are kind of checked out. You know, I think those are factors that are impossible to quantify or predict, but I don't know how you can dismiss that the possibility of that happening if this does drag on and there continues to be no resolution in sight.
Yeah, I have a couple of close sources who shared with me that Lamar Jackson hasn't talked to J.K. Dobbins, Rashard Bateman since the end of last season. That's disappointing to hear. There's other rumors about his habits and start, you know, being late, missing treatments, et cetera. So there's also a lot of stuff behind the scenes that may or may not be true that we're not aware of, but the team is aware of it, right? So that's the guy can win games, but when you get to he can win games and but, anytime you got to say the phrase but after you're talking about somebody, it does give you cause for concern and to pause and take a look at things a little bit differently.
Yeah, no question. And I mean, look,
because he missed the OTAs last year, and ideally you want your franchise quarterback, the face of your franchise, to be there. You want it to be in Cincinnati. I don't care what the circumstance is during the playoff game. So my point is, to your point about the locker room, is how does the locker room view him? Is he the guy still or not?
Well, and even with that, I think you can still really like a person.
Sure.
And really like him as a, you know, even as a teammate, certainly love him as a player, to your point, how successful they've been, at least in the regular season. But this is where I think when something's gone on this long And you know, you were just alluding to some of it. And look, we've all heard the rumors, conjecture, different things that have
Sure.
been out there. You know, how much of it's true, how much of it's false, how much of it is somewhere in the middle, which is usually how it works. But I think this is a time where you always try to separate the business side from the player, the athlete, all the prep, everything that goes into it. But when you're seeing something like this, and whether it's questionable decisions as far as still not employing an agent, or you're having Ken Francis making teams make calls. At some point in time, you have to start to connect the
Okay.
dots in some way, and you kind of say, okay, how does this all jibe as far as trying to win a Super Bowl and doing everything you can to win? And that's when they're just
Okay.
you just how can you not how can you ignore a disconnect there?
Okay. Look,
At some point.
put on your GM hat, and this is Ken Francis or Lamar Jackson calling you, and you're the GM, and I'm going to go negotiate with you, and I'm going to tell you, Luke, I don't need a fully guaranteed contract, but we started with 231. You're going to check out at hello. You're going to say, listen, you got about 30 seconds here. More left of time with me because we're in a whole different ballpark. You were at 133 from what I hear with the Ravens. Never mind a Watson deal. You're not getting that. 231, we're out. Because if you're telling me at 229 we're not talking, then what's the point? You see what I'm saying? That we're wasting time here. Yeah, we'd love to have you, but if 231 is your starting point, we're nowhere near the ballpark. So no wonder no one has expressed interest in them.
Here's the thing. I mean, this is a very simplistic example. I can tell you, the finest vehicle you have on your lot, Dennis, and you have plenty, and I Coons has
Sure.
done so well for me over the years.
Appreciate that.
But I could say the finest, highest, price bracket that you have, that's a non-starter for where I am financially.
Oh,
And look,
listen.
I love you,
Listen.
but like, we're not even going to negotiate about that because that's just not what
We
I can
go
realistically do.
look, we go through it every day. I traded a beautiful 2022 BMW in this beautiful green with 1400 miles and I got it priced at 91 grand. It's 5 grand behind market value. I got a guy in Montana offering me 80 grand for it. Love you. Want to do business with you, but we transact at 91. You're at 80. I can show you cars in 80 grand range, but if you want that car, it's going to cost you 91. It's no different.
Exactly.
And it's nothing personal about it. It's just, the value that's got to be there. It's
And there's
real simple.
Yeah,
But
and
two
there's
thirty.
no.
If you're a normal NFL GM, these guys are pretty smart. And you got a guy telling you whether it's an agent or Lamar, 231 is my client's starting price. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Guaranteed in this league? Well, the Watson deal. Can't talk about that. That's an outlier. Let's talk
Yeah.
about the Murray deal. Let's talk about, the Wilson deal. Let's talk about, all the recent deals. Let's talk about the pending deals of Burrow and the rest of those guys, right? Which hadn't happened yet. They're not getting guaranteed contracts either.
And if they do, then okay, we'll come
Yeah,
back to this. But if they, right.
the only way those guys get if they all got together with Lamar, if Burrow got together with Lamar and so did Herbert and Hurts,
Hurts,
if
yeah.
those four guys got together and said we want guaranteed contracts, that and I'm surprised they haven't done it. That would change the equation if the players colluded. Because if I'm an
Well,
agent, I'm talking to if I'm Herbert's agent, I'm talking to Burrow's agent, and we're both talking to Hurts' agent, and we're talking to Lamar. Let's all four of us collude and set this bar. But Lamar can't do it by himself.
yeah. Oh, no question. No question about that. Another point I want to mention, because it's along these lines, because you talked about other teams and, Lamar's asking price being a non-starter. I think something that's kind of been lost here, and I saw Kevin Cole, who's a former Pro Football Focus data scientist, and I know that sounds nerdy, but he did a piece. I think it was just his Substack. I linked to it in my latest 12 Ravens thoughts at BaltimorePositive.com. But he offered a really nuanced look, and I think what so many people have missed in this whole debate, and everyone has their own opinion, right? You've seen so many players. And look, I've said over and over, fundamentally speaking, in a big picture, in a vacuum kind of sense, I fully support players trying to get fully guaranteed deals. They play a brutal game. This is a lucrative multi-billion dollar industry. These owners could afford fully guaranteed deals if they want to do it. But understanding there's a market and there's supply and
Oh.
demand and there's all those circumstances. But the point I want to make though, Dennis, is Kevin Cole did a really nuanced look here. And what a lot of people forget is just the vast difference in opinion among NFL talent evaluators collectively on Lamar Jackson that goes back to the 2018 draft, right or wrong. And very clearly, there were plenty of teams that were wrong that could have very much benefited from Lamar Jackson being drafted there as opposed to 32nd overall to the Ravens. But that perception, whether it's groupthink, whether it's continuing to have an overwhelming focus on the pocket passing game, traditional quarterbacks, I'll throw race and all those different elements. That can all be part of the pie. But the point is, all of those collectively, the NFL talent evaluators told you how they felt about Lamar Jackson 5 years ago. So there's that. And then you couple that with everything else that we've talked about, asking price, no age, and all the injuries of the last couple of years. And it's just like, we probably shouldn't be that shocked by this, if we're being honest. When, again, you look at all of these factors, and there's a phenomenon that I was reading a book by Keith Law, a baseball writer, he was kind of talking about anchoring bias. And what that is basically you tend to revert to your original idea, your original information that you have on someone. And what's the original information that people have on Lamar? It's going back to the draft and how teams felt about him then. Yeah. And yes, he was a unanimous MVP in 2019. And that should have changed people's opinions. But that was still the peak. And he hasn't played as well in the 3 years since then. So people, right or wrong, and again, I think a lot of it's wrong. I think there are a lot of teams that should be after Lamar Jackson. If we're just talking from a football standpoint, but that's not what it's only about. So my point is, Kevin Cole offered this nuanced look, and he looked at efficiency metrics and all kinds of different things. And his conclusion was that, yeah, there probably should be some long-term concern about how Lamar's game ages, but he also had evidence that suggests that, over the next 4 or 5 years, probably okay. But he also acknowledged what? Lamar is very unique, so there's not a whole lot of data to go off of as far as precedent and previous examples of players that you can look to. Cam Newton, but Cam Newton, much more physical than Lamar. Took
much
way
bigger,
more hits
sure,
than Lamar.
Much bigger.
Sure. Much bigger, too. So, but his overall point seemed to align with where I've been on this all along, which is I'd be totally comfortable offering Lamar Jackson what the Ravens have offered him, which is top of the market in the 100%. Traditional quarterback contract stance. But I'm sorry, if you're asking me to give a fully guaranteed deal to a quarterback, you know who I'd give it to? Patrick Mahomes.
Right, but
I'm not sure I'm giving it to anyone else.
Yeah,
I will say Lamar is not a run heavy quarterback who has had some injuries the last couple years, and this might be as much the Ravens' fault as Lamar has not necessarily shown that he's going to play from the pocket more at the kind of high level that it'll take as he gets older. That, I'm sorry, that's not the example of the guy that I'm going to say I'm going to break through and give that fully guaranteed contract to. I'm just not. And that's saying that as someone who loves watching Lamar Jackson play football.
See, I'll defend the onus, Luke, is that the impact that an injury on a guaranteed contract will have on your roster or a big contract. We've seen that many times, not just in the NFL, but with the Ravens. When Ronnie Stanley isn't playing, you got this big hit against your cap. And if it wasn't for the cap, yep, I would say, I'd be all for guaranteed contracts. But since every team does have a cap, you have to give yourself, sure, as a business person, some injury protection. And that's why I wouldn't give Lamar Jackson a guaranteed contract. And I'm with you. The only person I would give a guaranteed contract to would in fact be Patrick Mahomes. The Browns made a grave error in making Deshaun Watson the first player to have a fully guaranteed contract. We know Kirk Cousins have had guaranteed contracts in the past as well, but not to
sure.
The
3 years, magnitude. Right.
Yeah. So, but that's, to me, is they have to play some defense in case of injury. Now, if that money didn't count against the cap space, I'm all for it. But since it does and it limits what your team can do, that 20, 22, 25% cap hit, you just can't compete with your quarterback in the tub.
Well, I mean, again, it comes back to all of it's related, right? And again, that's why I said fundamentally, I'm in support of that fight for the players. But that's a fight that is not going to happen overnight. And to your point, maybe it's going to take some 4 or 5 quarterbacks banding together and
that's
making
the only
that kind
way.
Of change. But here's the thing, and this is where you kind of look at this in, you know, the NFLPA, it's not very powerful. It's just not.
It's
I mean, you see that with, you know, you've seen that with the CBAs, and like, you know, you hear that there hasn't been that resolve. And look, if you're going to ask me who I'm going to root for, first of all, I'm not losing too much sleep for any of them because they're all making way more money than I am.
No, they are.
But it, on a very superficial level, yeah, I'll root for the millionaires against the billionaires. But at the same time, there's got to be a plan. And to the point that we made earlier in our discussion, you know, I'm not going to continue to belabor it. But if Lamar truly wanted a fully guaranteed deal, the time was last year to apply the pressure.
Oh, I would agree
and
with you
hire
there.
An agent. And I think there probably was an agent or three out there that probably, I'll say this much, maybe wouldn't have gotten a full guarantee from the Ravens, right, but would have gotten a way bigger full guarantee than they were offering. Let's put it that way. And, you know, this might be done at this point, but instead he kind of, the only leverage he used was sitting out OTAs, which
look,
is not a big deal
it.
In the big picture. So, right, you know, here we are a year later and he doesn't have that leverage anymore. So,
well, here's the deal. If Burroughs, Herbert, and Hurts were to try to collude with Jackson, then Brown, Spanos, Lurie, and Bisciotti, they're the wrong four owners to try to put a bayonet to their throat and say, you know what, it's guaranteed or else. All four of those cats would collude together and say no. And Burroughs, yeah, and Jackson and Lurie, and Hurts and Herbert, they'd be out of a job, man. I'm serious. It's not going to happen. The owners will suppress this. They will not give him a guaranteed contract. I do believe the Watson one was the last one. We may see it eventually down the road, maybe when the salary cap goes up to $300 million or so, but we're not going to see it anytime soon. They're fighting it, and they have good reason to fight it.
Let's face it, Dennis. Most billionaires, I don't want to say all, but most do not become billionaires by being overly benevolent, right?
Correct.
Meaning
–
correct. More benevolent than they need to be in instances like this. And look,
some are cash poor. They may have land. They may have this. But I mean, Spanos' family, they had a move before they lost their franchise. No different than the Modells. Yeah. Lurie doesn't have a ton of cash on hand, and neither does Brown. Brown's been the cheapest owner in the NFL in the history of the NFL, notoriously cheap.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how these three contract negotiations go, and they may help Lamar Jackson and the Ravens bridge that gap together. And look, at this point, Lamar Jackson, if I have to give him advice, you know, get yourself in the best shape of your life, come to camp, compete, win a Super Bowl if you can. You know, you're going to come into a wide open offense and build your market value even more. And God forbid you get hurt.
and one other factor, please hire an agent.
Yes.
Even if you have no interest in playing for the Baltimore Ravens ever again.
I agree.
For your own well-being, hire an agent. Stop being so stubborn about this.
Yeah.
Look, there are lots of us out there. There's no way I would try to do something like that on my own. I'm not nearly smart enough or have the savvy to try to negotiate something of that nature.
No one would have known.
Hire an agent. Let him or her take care of your business.
No one would have known, seen what I've seen. If I'm an NFL general manager and Lamar Jackson calls me, I'd tell him, you know what, have your agent call me. Not a certified, I'm not going to talk to you because you've wasted 2 years of your life and the Ravens' life, and you haven't done it in 2 years.
Yeah.
What makes you think that you and I, and you want 231? Definitely hire yourself an agent. Click.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no point in wasting time and breath and talking about it. Like, you know, the Ravens have beat their heads up against the wall for 2 years now. What makes anybody think that another GM is going to be savvy enough to convince Lamar Jackson to take whatever offer, you know, if it's not 231 guaranteed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just it really is. And look, at the end of the day, you know, there was a time where, you know, I kind of looked at this and like, man, he's, you know, he's really, he's costing himself money. You know, look at the fact that, you know, where were the endorsements for him the last few years? He was a unanimous MVP. But at some point in time, it's like, look, he's 26 years old. He's a grown man. If he wants to mess up his life financially, then that's his prerogative.
He's still rich. He's still rich, though, right? Rich. He's still frugal from what I can see. And, you know, maybe he has enough already. He's a different cat, which is why you have to be very careful how you negotiate him. He is that guy that I can see him walking away from football, period. And just so you know what, I'll figure it out.
I still find the irony of him wanting a fully guaranteed deal, yet he's promoting the entire gym. That's what it's called, right? Is
Can
it
I
the
ask
complete
you,
gym or entire gym?
Is that a parody or is that a real thing? Because I haven't
It's a
researched
real
it.
thing, from what
You've
I
got to be
understand.
kidding me. Because I saw the video and I'm thinking it's got to be a parody, like an
It's
SNL skit. This is not as they expect customers to pay $700 for that.
I didn't see the price of it.
$6.99, Luke.
Here's the thing that's crazy to me, beyond the point I just made. If that were a product that name a former Raven, Jarrett Johnson, let's say, and I'm just using Double J's name. I always love covering Double J, good guy. That's the kind of product that a former player who is just trying to make a few extra bucks at this point, because, he doesn't have, he doesn't have a cachet that he's making money off his name anymore or anything like that. But someone says, hey, you want to promote this? That's something I would expect to see some middle of the road former player promoting. So it's just crazy to me to think you're seeing Lamar do that, which, look, maybe Ken Francis is a dear family friend, whatever, but it kind of comes across as a little embarrassing compared to the kind of lucrative lucrative endorsements he should have. So you have that, yet he's insisting on a fully guaranteed deal or 230 plus million fully guaranteed. He has that, but he wants a fully guaranteed deal, but he doesn't want to pay the few million dollars it would cost to get a cutthroat, tough agent that's going to.
I'm sorry, I'm blown away. I thought it was a parody. You're telling me it's a real.
It's crazy.
It's a real gem.
I think it's real.
Okay, again,
you never know. I guess,
saw it and I laughed so hard. I thought it was an SNL skit. I thought he was trolling everybody.
Yeah,
I'm thinking this cannot be real.
I think it's real.
Okay.
My understanding is that
obviously
do I know
you and
that?
You and I have zero interest in buying it. So now, yeah. if in 2019 he signs up with Under Armour and he gets his own line of shoes.
Oh my gosh!
Look, I used to buy a pair of new Jordans every year. I love Michael Jordan. I adored Michael Jordan. I still have my shoes from in the 90s.
Yeah.
Would I buy a Lamar Jackson signed pair of shoes? Absolutely would. Why wouldn't I?
I mean, I just
because it's
and
Under Armour. It's not Acme brand. It's not a. Remember, I used to buy shoes from Acme years ago, or AMP, $2, fish heads, right?
There you go.
This was a fish heads commercial, for lack of a better term. You got to be kidding me.
I mean, it's just
not a good look.
It's why. And look, I would even say if you want to do that, fine. You want to help out someone but
just wow.
That
wow.
You better have Under Armour or Nike or Gatorade or any of those that you've really made bank on. And then if you want to do that for, down in South Florida, that's just
that's
a local.
Crazy.
And look, I was even talking to someone like Josh Allen does local commercials in Buffalo, and we some of them are better than others. We know how that goes, but at the end of the day, like, he just hasn't maximized. He hasn't made nearly the money he should have for his value.
No.
And look, if he doesn't care, let's be clear. I'm not. I don't lose sleep over this.
He may not care. He's going to have $66 million. He would have earned his career at the end of the season if he shows up. If not, he'll have made what, 32, 33.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't show up, he doesn't get paid. That's how it works. And
sure.
The question is, if he shows up, I thought he made business decisions on the field last season. What's he going to look like this year if he's disgruntled? Last year he was playing out to get hurt. This year, who knows what his mindset's going to be? He sets foot on the field first game. All of a sudden, he falls to the ground holding his back. Now you're in the hook for that money, and he's not playing.
He also has a new offensive coordinator. And look, and I say this as a compliment, Todd Monken, from what I understand, his players like him, but I've also heard he's no nonsense. Like, if you need to be corrected, like, he'll do it. And,
yeah, he's that guy.
Especially if a player who's unhappy from a business standpoint, how does that play out? And look, that would be the case for Lamar or anyone. J.K. Dobbins will be on a contract year this year. So, and that's not to say it won't work. Let's be very clear about that. I'm just saying that, that's a new variable you're throwing into the mix at this point, because it's not Greg Roman and James Urban, it's T. Martin and it's Todd Monken. So, hey, the hope is the offense will be even better. But, how is that all going to work, especially if Lamar, if he doesn't roll in there till August 25th? I don't know how this is going to go for anyone, quite frankly.
Be really ugly at that point. At that point, it's a hard sell, but I'll probably tell Steve Bisciotti, we'll bench him for the year. We'll pay them. and we'll go with whoever we got. I mean, honestly, I just don't know how you, as a quarterback, as a leader, you either in the boat or you're in the water, one or the other. You can't have a one foot in the boat and the other foot in the water. You're either swimming in the water or you're with a team. And I don't know how, as a leader of a team, you're not fully vested and with the guys. I just don't
know. It's tough, especially when you've been at it for 2+ years.
Yeah. I remember who was it? Lou Holtz. He had 3 questions for his team. The first one was, can I trust you? That trust. And that's the first, I think that's the first thing about a quarterback in the locker room. Can the guys trust, can I trust you? Yeah. And ideally you want them to run through a brick wall for you, not throw you through a brick wall. And they can say whatever publicly, but like you said, the locker room, where is that at?
Yeah. I mean, at some point, and again, it's not the sense that I got at the end of last year that that players were mad with Lamar or anything like that. I think they still love him. But at some point, you know, there's also the thought that there's a time for business and there's a time for play. And, you know, at some point in time, how can these not be interfering with one another? And that's not to say Lamar was jaking it last year or that he wasn't hurt. I think he was hurt. And I think there was a disconnect of perception maybe as far as how the team, what the team was saying. And maybe he was a little more injured than they thought originally. But the point is, we're already seeing that conflict and it's only getting worse. I don't think it's getting better.
That's why you need an agent, Luke, because although it's all about the bag, you don't want to make it be all about the bag to your teammates. Right. You know, what about us, right? So, I mean, I think the idea that the quarterbacks have taken team-friendly contracts that restructure down the road is to be able to keep your team together. So that's the other piece of it, is that what's this guy's mood going to be to restructure if he in fact gets his bag? He'll say, nope, you know, why should I restructure? You know, I'm earning my money, right? Well, you got to make the team better. No, not for me. You got to deal with him. You're not dealing with an agent. Even if you sign him, the headache's not going to ever go away. It just isn't.
Very well possible. And it's interesting you mentioned that, because I don't want to belabor the point too long, because I know we've talked a long time already, but I can think back, and I won't name the player, but I'm aware of it. This was 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago. It wasn't terribly recent, but it wasn't 20 years ago either, that it's kind of an understanding with players that contracts are structured in ways that you can do simple restructures where basically it takes a player's salary and turns it into most of it into a bonus. You get your lump sum, the team gets some cap space for that year, and some prorated money sent out to future cap years. And okay, if you're a very cynical player, you can look at that and say, well, that might make me a little less attractive down the line. My cap number will be a little more, although that's dead money one way or the other. So the point is, it financially has no negative bearing on a player. But I remember this player balked and refused a simple restructure to help the team out from a cap standpoint. You know, again, they weren't getting, this wasn't a pay cut. It was just, hey,
it actually hurts the team a little bit, right? Because you're kicking that money down the road.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So
it helps the player because you're getting the money up front, at least. And I understand what the player's mindset about down the road, but still, most players are living for today, not for down the road.
Well, and again, those prorated amounts, you can't do anything about those. That's either going to be money that's part of your cap number, or that's going to be dead money on the team's cap if they cut you. So it really doesn't make a difference in that way. But the point is, you know, and I can tell you that player was not there a whole lot longer. I think maybe one more year after
that. He made a business decision for the day.
Yeah, but there was a case of, you know, they've had all these problems trying to work out a deal. To your point, if you're going to have to restructure, and look, the Browns have already restructured Watson's deal. They did it earlier this offseason.
But again, Watson has an agent. How are you going to?
He does.
You can't even structure a deal with this guy. How are you going to restructure a deal with him down the road? To me, as an outsider looking as a general manager of a Ford store, it's the same. It's the same. Look, believe me, I've had similar conversations, not with the same amount of money, of course, but it's the same thing. It's no different. How am I supposed to negotiate with you after I got you?
I think back to Eric DaCosta at the season-ending press conference back in January. He said, there's Lamar the player and Lamar the agent. I love Lamar the player. He never told you how he felt about Lamar the agent. I think that was very telling.
I think he did tell us without telling us. Luke, as always, I appreciate you. Thank you for the extra time today. We had two segments, the privilege of having two segments with you. Please tell our listeners all the great stuff you do for Baltimore Positive, WSD 1570, your blog and everything else that you do.
Absolutely. I encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter at WNST. You can follow me personally at Baltimore Luke. I'll be live from Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Orioles first homestand of the 2023 season. I'll be on the scene. Check out my blog at BaltimorePositive.com. Latest on the Orioles, latest on the Ravens, Liars Luncheon, season or home opener for the Orioles. You want to be on the WNST Baltimore Positive Tech Service sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. If you are, you heard first about the Orioles pushing back their home opener a day. You'll hear first if there is any significant news on the Lamar Jackson front or the Ravens signing another player or adding another player. Certainly, as we get closer to draft weekend, we'll send out the draft picks as well via the WNST Baltimore Positive Tech Service sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. And of course, anything throughout the week on AM 1570 with Nestor. Sound from the ballpark, players and Brandon Hyde and coaches. Ravens, Liars Luncheon, you can hear that in its entirety. And of course, as we get closer to the draft, we'll have conference calls, interviews with the Ravens' new draft picks, all of that at BaltimorePositive.com.
All right, my friend. Always a pleasure. Have fun at opening day. I'll look forward to your coverage during the game.
You as well, Dennis. Be well, and we'll talk next week. And I'm guessing we'll mention Lamar Jackson once or twice.
Once or twice. It's a story that never ends. Thank you for tuning in here, 1570 AM WNST. Thank you to Luke Jones. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.